Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just Believe Radio on the Rightstream Network. This is your host, Lisa Tarvis. I wanted to welcome everyone to the show. This has been a difficult week for the United States. Lots going on, and I'm not much of it good. So I'm hoping to have a more uplifting show today to kind of get everybody on a better path for the week to come. The show airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. We have lots of different guests covering many different holistic, metaphysical, spiritual, and even paranormal subjects each and every week. Somebody with some kind of expertise is going to be on talking about, you know, those fascinating, I find fascinating subjects. So this week we have a really great lady on who I'm fascinated by her work. She is an author. Her name is Melanie Smithson, and she is the owner of the Smithson Clinic Incorporated, which is Smithson Clinic is a alternative health clinic offering body-oriented psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, acupuncture, and bioenergetic medicine. Melanie holds a master's degree in somatic, I believe is how you pronounce it, psychotherapy, is EMDR certified and trained in many different integrative modalities. She specializes in relationship, grief, trauma, chronic pain, childhood abuse issues, depression, and anxiety. So I think it's going to be a fascinating show. So anyone, before we even get started, if you have any questions for Melanie, as we're going through the show, any questions for me, any questions in general, you can call 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And if you press 1, you'll be in our queue, and I will see you and get to you as soon as there's an appropriate moment in the show. So I'd like to introduce our guest, Melanie. Melanie, are you with me?
I am.
Oh, good. Okay. It's nice to have you on the show. I really appreciate you being part of the Just Believe radio program that is still fairly new, and we're just getting it kicked off. So you're one of the first, I guess, dozen guests. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this. What we're talking about is Life Between Lives, and which is called LBL, right? LBL, I guess. Okay. So what exactly is an LBL session, a Life Between Lives session? I mean, what do you do, and who are you doing it to and for, and why? There's lots of questions there.
Yeah. I'm going to just start with the history of the LBLs, if that's okay, Lisa,
okay.
How it came.
Sure.
So the work is based on the books of Michael Newton, Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, Life Between Lives, and more recently, Memories of the Afterlife. And Dr. Newton came to this work through just, you know, kind of traditional hypnotherapy. And in his work with people, he would ask them to go back to the point of origin for whatever issue it was they were working with. So, you know, an adult comes in and they've got hip pain. And the hypnotherapy intervention was to go back to the point when you first felt this pain. And at the time, he wasn't really a big believer in past lives. And what happened is people started going back into previous lifetimes during the hypnotherapy sessions. And they would work with resolving the pain in a prior life. And so Dr. Newton paid attention. He said, this is working. And so he kept doing that with people, and they kept going back to past lives. And so he was doing past life hypnotherapy for a while. And then spontaneously, people started reporting to him what was happening in between lifetimes when they were not in bodies. And I think, as anybody would, he got intrigued. And so he started asking a lot of questions. And he did, over the course of the years, I think about 7,000 LBLs before he actually published the books. And what was amazing
to
him,
and
it's a lot of sessions. I mean, people ask me how many I've done, and I feel like I've done a lot of sessions, but when I count, it's in the hundreds, you know, maybe 1,000.
Right.
7,000 sessions, a lot of sessions.
Right.
And what he found was amazing consistency. People were reporting the same type of experiences, that they would meet with their soul group and they would have people that they would regularly incarnate with. They would go talk with their guide about the life they had just completed. They would meet with their council of elders who would help them look at their progress in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes, how they were doing with their life lessons, and more. And so he documented all of this. He wrote the books. The books, you know, became bestsellers. And then he started training people to do it. And he is right now, he is 81 years old, and he's been retired technically for some time. He stopped doing sessions, but he's still pretty active in the online community of the practitioners. And I'll tell you, when I met him at 75 years old, as vibrant and as alive as anybody I've ever met. And so that, you know, that certainly said something to me about the work, you know. So I decided to pursue this work because I was working with therapy clients, and some of them were stuck no matter what. And, you know, more what I was seeing was more of like stuck in the victim role, like, why is this happening to me? Uh-huh. And I had a thought that if they understood why this was happening, in terms of what are the lessons that you're meant to learn from this experience, I believe that that would help them get unstuck. Now, as happens to many of us, we have plans. We think we know why we're doing something, and that's not why we're doing it. Because none of the clients I had this in mind for wanted to do an LBL. As I said, hundreds of others have.
Right.
So, but that is what brought me to the work. And the structure of the LBL is actually a four-hour hypnotherapy session where we go into a deep state of trance, deeper even than typical hypnotherapy because of the length of it. And in that, we tap into this below conscious material and explore what we're doing.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know I've been fascinated with Dr. Newton's work for a long time, and and he, I read Journey of Souls a long time ago, and I just thought it was amazing. I don't know if I know I bought Destiny of Souls. I don't remember whether I ever actually read it. There's just so many books. You can't read them all. Nobody knows. So his work has always fascinated me, and it's interesting because what I do hypnotherapy as well, and I do past life regression. So I'm taking people back to a past life. We spend about 2 minutes in the in between stage.
Right.
So what you're saying is you focus on but we're going from I'm taking them back to a previous lifetime, where they may have issues that they carried over to this lifetime, which is, what we're going back for, to maybe fix. But what you're saying is you're spending the time during the session in the afterlife, in that spiritual realm.
Yes. So we actually start by going to, the suggestion is the most immediate past life, because Dr. Newton found that it was easier to go into the space in between after experiencing death. So we touch into a past life in the LBL, but the LBL itself is not focused on the past life. So,
so that would be the difference. I mean, that's basically the difference between a past life regression and a LBL session would be that, you know, the focus is on the in between, you know, the instead of the afterlife or the life.
Right. And as you were saying, Lisa, because I will typically do a past life with people before we do the LBL to make sure they can go into a deep enough state of trance. But as you were saying, when we do a past life, we're looking for one issue, typically one hook. You know, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a pattern, whether it's a relationship thing, and we go
right
into that past life to hopefully resolve and unwind it. And when we do the LBL, it that option is there, but so much more. So,
right,
yeah, because then we get the guides to work with us.
Right, right, and that's I'm wondering, like, the is that what is it beneficial for people? You know, you do. I know you do this for people suffering from severe grief and things like that. Is it helpful for people that have just lost someone to go into an LBL session? And why?
Absolutely.
Why? How does it help? How does it help them?
Often, well, I don't know that I've ever done an LBL session where somebody hasn't recently lost somebody, where they I've done many other sessions, but where somebody came in specifically for that, where they didn't get to actually engage with the person that they lost. So
Wow. The
person shows up, and you get to have a much deeper understanding of what your person, whether it's a loved one or not, you know, it could be anybody, you know, but what they were working on in this lifetime, how they felt and what's going on. Like, one of the things that happens a lot in my practice, I see a lot of people for grief just in therapy as well. People are very concerned about sometimes a horrific death that somebody was suffering. And in the LBL, you get to see way beyond it. And that, I think, is the beauty, because it relieves any attachment to something wrong happened. And we get to see that, first of all, your loved one or whoever it is in a state of non-attachment. They are no longer the body. They're not identified with the body. And they have, in all likelihood, resolved the lessons that they came to work on. So we get to see
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just wondering, like, you know, does that comfort someone, though, who feels that their loved one died in pain? You know, like if somebody died while they were dying, they experienced serious trauma or serious pain. Does it help them to see that on the other side, and not just see, not just have a psychic tell you or something like that, but you're actually experiencing this. And that's, I think, the big difference that people have to understand. It's not just you're having faith in what someone else is telling you, which, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that that's not a good thing, but, you know, because it is very helpful. I help people with things like that all the time. But I think what's more important is when you can actually experience it for yourself. You can hear these words. You can, you know, experience this this connection with this person. You know, even if they did die in pain, is it doesn't matter?
You know, it's the interesting thing. Like, so let's just say that I lost somebody 2 months ago and they died in pain. 2 months ago in the spirit world is a long time. Well, anything is a long time because time doesn't exist, right?
Right,
but
right.
In the spirit world, where, you know, when we have that conversation with the person that we've lost, and I'm like, I'm sitting here all worried about how much pain they were in 2 months ago, they're laughing at me. They're like, what are you still doing back there?
Wow.
So I'm the one that's stuck with their pain, and they've moved on. I'll tell you a funny story. This is totally not about an LBL, but it was entertaining. I lost my one of my dogs about 5 years ago, and she was 18 and a half when she passed. She had a great life, nothing to complain about. And she didn't die in pain, you know. But after she crossed over, I had a conversation with a psychic, and because I wanted to know how she was doing, I had a couple of questions for her, you know. And as part of the conversation, I asked her, you know, what would you like me to do with your ashes? Because my other dog had a preference, you know. Well, Kina says to me, flush them down the toilet. I don't care. Which
wow.
I just thought was hysterical.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They have, you know, whether it's a dog, whether it's a person, they've left the attachment to the body.
Yeah, because it is just the body. It's just a shell that we're inhabiting for, you know, like you said, like you were just saying, when there's no time, no space, none of that stuff in the spiritual realm. So what you're focused on isn't that shell. That shell means nothing. You're, you know, three shells ahead by then, you know,
right.
At planning stage or whatever.
And I just have to say, of course, while we're in the shell, while we're in the vehicle, it is important that we honor it.
Of course. Right.
Once we leave it, we leave it.
Right. Yeah, that's a great story, because you always feel like you know, there's a part of you that's always afraid that you're not, you know, doing the right thing. And we get so attached, I say this all the time, to that shell, and we bury that shell. You know, we're burying these, you know, our loved ones' bodies, and we're going to that grave, and we're laying flowers, and we're talking.
As if
you know,
they
and
care.
That they don't care. That's exactly what I always tell people. It doesn't matter that the body that person's soul is with you no matter where you are. You don't have to go to the grave to connect with them. But I think it's something that it's just traditional. It's what we do,
yeah.
And I think it's you know, and if it helps in the
right.
grieving process, then you know, go for it. But don't do it for them, because they don't.
No,
care.
No, it's for us, and there is comfort in those rituals, you know. One of the rituals of the Jewish tradition is to burn a yahrzeit candle, which burns for about 12 days, 10 days, something like that. And for me, that was a lovely ritual to do with my mother, because it was like the quality of just being with her in the passing. So,
right.
But again, that was for me, not for her.
Right, exactly. And I think that's exactly the point, is that we have to understand that. I mean, it really is about us. I mean, the people left behind, in a way, because, you know, we're the ones left behind. We're the ones still experiencing time as a real thing. We're not
right.
experiencing, you know, it in a spiritual way. So for us, it you know, whatever helps you get through the day, I guess, you know, whatever helps your grieving process, then that's fine to do. But I, you know, like I said, and what you said too, is just don't do it for them. You're, you know, you honor them by living your life correctly. You honor them by, you know, you are honoring them a lot of ways. You don't, you know, by the way you live your life, not by necessarily visiting their grave where they're not even at.
Right. And
so.
And it's that also speaks to, like, when I work with people, whether it's in the LBL or even through EMDR, it's like, what was the gift that this person gave you? Because you already have that. And you honor them by living that gift.
Right. I'm coming up on my mom's 5-year death anniversary, which is a weird thing to say. But she died very unexpectedly when she was 68 years old. And and for me, so this is like April's like a bad month, you know, in a way, because it's like all the memories come back of watching her go, and you know, the whole thing. And But for me, I always tell, you know, even as a psychic, I've never really had any kind of conversation with my mom that was a two-way conversation, although I can do that with other people's moms, go figure. I can't really do that with my own. I feel her once in a while, for sure, but I don't, I definitely don't have the same ability to do what I can do with her like I can others. And,
yeah.
And it's one of those things where, you know, I always think every day, you know, every decision I make that's a big decision, am I honoring my mom? Am I living what she taught me? You know,
mm-hmm.
And if I'm not, is that okay? Because maybe what she taught me wasn't perfect, you know? Because we also have
right.
we have the we have the way of like making people into, you know, gods when they pass, they weren't perfect. You know,
no.
These people weren't perfect while they were, you know, with us
right.
in a human form. So, you know,
yeah.
You don't want to, we do have a tendency to put, you know, our deceased loved ones on a pedestal after they've passed. But, you know, I think that's important. I think it's important that everybody, you know, understand that you honor them by, like what you said, is by, you know, the way you're living what they taught you. You know, you're living what they...
And I just want to be clear, Lisa, you know, it's like what you're saying is, I'm going to say it a little bit differently, is our parents taught us a lot of things that don't serve us.
Right,
and
absolutely.
It's important that we not honor them by doing everything that they taught us. What I think is important, or unless it's not, is to recognize what is it that they gave me that's precious to me. Whether it's a sense of humor, whether it's a certain way of looking at something, whether it's, you know, to be able to say no. Like, what is the one precious, or more than one thing, that they gave me that nobody else did that really is reflected in who I am? And as you find that spark and live that, then you don't have to worry about doing everything they told you to do.
I totally agree. I totally agree, because for me, I can go furniture shopping and be looking at sofas and be like, oh, my mom would hate that sofa. I can't buy that. And I'm like, geez, my mom's been dead 5 years, you know? That's ridiculous. But in another way, I think about the way I was raised in my parents, and I'm incredibly strong. I'm an incredibly strong person who can, you know, who can get through. I can get through anything that life throws at me. You know,
right.
I might be not happy about it at the time. But my mom and my dad too. My dad's still alive. But you know, the two of them together, and my mom being such a powerful, strong woman, basically taught me that I could be a powerful, strong woman. It wasn't like you had to be a wallflower because you were female or something.
Right.
It was, you know, it was okay to express your opinion and okay to have an opinion. And you know, and so those are things I learned from my mom, and those are things that have served me. And
yeah.
and made me a better mom. I don't know if my husband would agree that it's a good trait, you know, that I'm like outspoken and things, but you know,
right.
whatever. It's made me a better friend. It's made me a better person, because I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not, you know, I'm very real. I'm very out there with it. And I think, you know, that makes that's how I honor my mom, is by not being the quiet little, you know, wallflower,
right.
and by living what she taught me. So what made you want to do this? What made you want to become a practitioner of LBL?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, as you said, when you read the book, you were, you know, fascinated with it, drawn to it. And most people, you know, say as they read the book, they just totally resonate, you know. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, this is, you know, this just feels true in my bones, you know. And
right.
so there was that. I did my first LBL, and I loved the experience. And, in fact, it's interesting, because I had said earlier that part of the reason I did it was because I thought my clients, it would help them get unstuck. But another thing that really happened for me as a result of my first LBL was a sense of knowing that everything was okay. The feeling of being unconditionally loved, and that all the things that we beat ourselves up about are just not that big a deal, that created a huge shift in me and my ability to live my life. And it's interesting, because the Newton Institute, when they've done the surveys, like, you know, what is it that people most get from an LBL? Why do people come? And even though most people come with the question of what's my purpose, which I'll get to in a minute, I find that experience of unconditional love helps us to find peace within ourselves. And that, I think, can impact the world. So I think that's why I do it more than any other thing, is to help people find that peace within themselves.
Yeah, and that's so important. You know, that's so important to, you know, to be able to experience life. You know, I always say I always call it joy, you know, to not have your joy squished, you know,
right.
to
right.
you know, experience life, like you're saying, in a peaceful way.
Right.
I've got lots more questions for you. I want to take a short break first, and before I go, encourage our listeners to call in. And ask any questions. LBO is a fascinating thing. If you have any questions about how you become a client of Melanie's, or any questions about hypnotherapy, or even want to hear some stories about some of the sessions that she has had, please feel free to give us a call at 347-945-7246. That's 347-945-7246, and press 1 and you'll be in the queue. For right now, I want to take a quick break, and nobody go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
All right, welcome back. We are back today on Just Believe Radio. I'm Lisa Tarvis, and we are joined today by Melanie Smithson, who is a LBL practitioner, meaning a Life Between Lives practitioner. We're having a really fascinating conversation about Life Between Lives, and I'm excited to welcome her back. I want to ask, like, some of these are just such basic questions, but what kind of client most often comes to you, Melanie? Is it someone who is having like a current issue, meaning they don't understand why they get stuck in the same relationship pattern? They keep picking the same type of person, man or woman, whatever, to have a relationship with, or are you finding it's more people that are wanting to get in touch with a deceased loved one or experience that type of thing?
Yes. I know you asked me an either-or question, but my clients come for a lot of different reasons. Some of them have just read the books and they're fascinated, and it's like, I want to do this, you know? A lot of people are feeling stuck. I hear stuck a lot, you know, whether it's stuck in a pattern of relationship, whether it's stuck in a job, or a lot of times people feel like there's work that they're supposed to be doing and they just can't seem to get there. So the whole self-sabotage thing, I see that a lot. I see a lot of people coming in for grief issues. And the whole finding life purpose, which I had mentioned before the break, I wanted to get back to. I just want to say a quick thing about that. We tend to get confused about life purpose, and it's funny because it's one of the things that I take issue with when people are, writing about and saying, you know, you have to find your purpose, you have to find your purpose, because that makes a lot of us pretty crazy. And
yeah.
we interpret that as, oh, I'm here to be a nurse, or I'm here in order to design this new software. It's like, this is my purpose, you know? And it works very differently on the other side. Frankly, they don't really care what we're doing in terms of what activity we're engaging in. What they care about is that we're doing the work that we're supposed to be doing for our soul's growth. And
right.
I used to be an accountant before I was a therapist. And one of the things that I recognized when I was doing accounting, when I was doing tax work, that I was more interested in the relationship. So I was still able to do taxes and do accounting, but I just focused on relationship. So the truth is that we can be working with our purpose wherever we are. Dr. Newton tells a story about a woman that he met who was a truck driver up on the northwest coast, I think. And she wasn't a truck driver. She worked at a truck stop, a diner stop. And the truck drivers would come in and tell her all kinds of tales of woe. And she came in for an LBL. Turns out she was one of the most advanced souls he'd ever worked with. So, you know, I just want to say that for listeners to get that, you know, you can be doing your work wherever you are. And so purpose takes on a different meaning when we start exploring it in the LBL. So.
I think that people, that's a common thing that, it's a common concept that is misunderstood. It's not, you know, like you're saying, you know, about being, I'm here to be a nurse, or I'm here to, you know, and it's so, I think the fact that we simplify things so much, you know what I mean? Like, we have this need to make things simple. Oh, well, this is why I'm here. This is, we have lots of reasons for being here. You know, we have a lot of reasons for being here, and not just one. And it's not just for what we're giving back. A lot of it's for what we're learning. And that's, I think, you know, because that's what our souls are in need of, is to learn and advance and that sort of thing too. That's a great point, and I'm sure you have lots of great stories that you can share with us about not only Dr. Newton's sessions that he's mentioned in his book, but also yours. You know, so when somebody comes to you for a session, they're basically hoping to either contact, you know, be in touch with a loved one, to have the comfort of knowing that not only are they there. I mean, I guess it verifies that an afterlife exists, which I think a lot of us doubt after losing someone, or worry about after losing someone that we really, really love, someone very close to us. What if there isn't? What if they do just, you know, turn to dust and that's the end, you know, and that there's not more to it? I'm assuming that's got to be one of the things that people find a lot of comfort in during one of your sessions.
Yes, you know, and that said, most of the people that come for sessions already believe that.
Right.
So every once in a while I get somebody that comes in that just wants validation. But in general, most of the people that come in for the sessions already know that there is so much more than what we're experiencing in a body in this life.
Do you think they know, or do you think that they
yeah,
know?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they there's no way for them to have it verified until
right.
they experience it for themselves.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's
yeah,
like the people
that
experience near death, that they come back and
right.
you know, it's like they really get it. Yeah, so it is like that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like I've done some past life regressions. I've had them done, and I've of course done them for clients. But from my perspective, going back and experiencing that life for myself, I was born remembering things about the other side. I remembered things. I mean, I just always new things. Like my grandparents could, I talk about it in my book, my grandparents would read me the Bible and I'd be like, that's not true. You know, I would argue with them. That's not exactly the way it works. That's not exactly, you know, God's not mean like that, you know, Grandma. And I'm like 6 years old. My grandmother's like, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do with this kid? But
that's great.
You know,
that's great.
I mean, I just remembered. I just knew as a little kid the things that, I mean, there were parts of it, of course, that I was like, yeah, I remember that. There were things I remembered. I just did. And I think maybe that's why I ended up being able to see angels at such a young age, because I think they were kind of sent to comfort me and to let me know that those memories, maybe to help those memories stay with me. I'm not really sure, but when you have even those memories, when I lost my mom, I thought, wow, what if I can't talk to her because I'm completely crazy and I don't remember anything. You know, I mean, maybe you start self-doubting, you really do,
right?
Even though you know, you don't know no. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's, and I should, of all people, I should never have doubted any of it, you know, but you can't help it. When you're going through a grief process, you know, when you're going through the grief that comes along with losing someone you love, crazy stuff goes through your head that you just never experience, no matter how firm your belief is.
Yeah. It's interestingly, so one of my current clients is somebody who actually channels, who's psychic, you know, and he's, and that's a lot of my clients are people that work with other people, whether they're traditional doctors or psychics or massage therapists, you know, because there's a certain role that we hold when we're helping others that I know that I am at my best when I'm sitting in my therapy chair. You know, I'm tuned in, I'm centered, and the stuff that's coming through is, you know, sometimes brilliant because it's beyond me.
Right.
And then you take this same person who's sitting here in my therapy chair who is sometimes brilliant, and you put her in her regular life, and she's a little nuts. You know?
Right. Absolutely.
So I actually do a lot of work with people that work with others. So first of all, how do we not take on their stuff? How do we, you know, keep moving through? And then how do we take the lessons that we're so good at teaching and actually live them? So this person, though, that I'm referring to, I had a couple of great sessions with him recently. He came in recently feeling that he was stuck, that his clients weren't showing up, and he was feeling depleted, feeling fearful. And we went back to several past lives where he had taken on too much and not moved it through, and actually saw himself dying of a heart attack in one life, you know, and also the whole experience of stepping out as in these, you know, even now as a psychic or as a channeler, and being ridiculed for it. And
right.
I find that a lot of people that are doing this work now have that fear. And some of it is valid. There are still a lot of people out there that are not ready for this work. But a lot of it is based in past lives, having, you know, been burned at a stake, having been a shaman, having been, you know, it's like all of that. You know, most of us that are doing this work have done it many times before. And at some point have gotten in trouble for doing it.
Yeah. We still experience that today. In our world. I mean, there are people that look at you, you know, I just tell people I'm a metaphysician, and then they'll be like, what the heck's a metaphysician? So then I'm like, oh boy, okay. So then I go to holistic health practitioner. Usually everybody leaves me alone after holistic health practitioner. They go, oh, I get that. You know, but when you get into, when somebody introduces me that knows me and they are just, oh, Lisa's a psychic, I'm like, oh, here we go.
People get scared.
You get one of two reactions. You get, oh my gosh, and then they immediately start asking you questions, or you get, you know, and they kind of roll their eyes, and all of a sudden they're walking away, and you're like, okay, you know, you have to develop some tough skin, you know, when you do this. So, but you know, when you're talking about that person and you know, sitting in the chair, I get that too, because it's like I sometimes get ready for a client and I'm trying to center myself and I'm like, oh, this is going to be hard, because you know, I'm scatterbrained today or whatever, but boom, once I get centered and once that person is sitting across from me, I've got it. You know, it's like it's like a tunnel vision kind of thing, and there's no self doubt. There's none of that. You know, there's none of that other stuff. But that thing is keeping your ego out of it. You know what I mean? Because when somebody says, "Wow, you're really good," no, I'm not. I'm just telling you what somebody else is telling me.
You could even say, "I'm not even here."
I know, exactly. I'm just like a voice box at that point. You know, I feel like I'm just a speaker. You know what I mean? Like I'm just sitting there and just relaying information. But you know, when you start to allow your ego and your I am amazing, aren't I? You know, and you're okay. Well, there you go. You just shut it down. You know,
right?
There's no more psychicness for you.
Yeah.
So
you know. Something came through in an LBL yesterday that is kind of, you know, is definitely related to what we're talking about. And there were two pieces about this. One, a lot of people, you know, are looking for soulmates, you know, and who's my soulmate and is this one, is that one. And what she was told yesterday is that nobody is your soulmate and everybody is your soulmate. So the point they were trying to make was that there is no separation.
Mm-hmm.
And also in that, you know, the other thing that they said to her, one of the things that Dr. Newton talks about in the books is that when we come into this lifetime, we bring a certain percentage of our energy with us.
Right,
and I think that's true on one level, but what they were saying to us yesterday is that you can always tap into all of the other energy because there's no separation.
Right. So that's like when they say, okay, you leave a piece of your energy behind in the spirit world when you reincarnate, so that you can then the people that have passed on after you, you can be there to greet, and you can, you know, a piece of you can be there. As well. So what you're saying is you can harness all of that together and be wherever you want, even though, you know, you can go to the other side and greet a loved one, even if from the state you're in right now, from the body you're in right now.
There's no separation. But, you know, the other thing they were talking about yesterday that I thought was really cool is that, you know, we have our constructs that we live with, our belief systems, you know. And sometimes they serve us, sometimes they don't. And what the council of the guides was saying yesterday is like, you can have your constructs if you want them. We are not going to argue them, buy into them, or do anything at all with them, because that would just make them appear more real.
Right.
You'll let them go when you're ready to let them go.
Right. Right.
And, you know, and
that
I was thinking
so,
about that.
So
of, yeah, I was thinking about that, too, in terms of our work with clients. You know, I have clients that come in for my therapy practice that are very attached to some of their beliefs. And, you know, I don't try and argue them out of those beliefs, but I also don't validate them. It's like you're allowed to believe that.
Right. Absolutely.
I think the more that we see that they're not attached, that they're not solid, the more we find that we have our options to believe or not believe those things anymore.
Right. So in an LBL session, you're just getting back to the basics of the LBL. It's basically a hypnosis session. And people fear hypnosis. And I always blame from middle school and high school when they had that hypnotist on the stage and he was making, you know, your classmates quack like a duck and things like that. I always think that people have they kind of negatively, you know, when you hear hypnosis, you think either it's negative or there's no way I could ever be hypnotized. I hear that all the time. There's no way you can hypnotize me. Can you explain why everybody, pretty much everybody, can be hypnotized? And what it is, what is this whole trance state, and why it is that they do end up remembering the session and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because it's a conversation I have with most of my clients when they first call too. And, you know, we have this idea that hypnotherapy is the same as what we've seen as stage hypnosis. And
right.
I don't know about you, Lisa, but I don't even know how to do what they do. You know, I don't. I mean, hypnotherapy, yeah, in my training is about getting to that state simply where the conscious mind is not in charge. And so I tell my clients a lot that it's not all that different than meditation or whatever it is that puts you into kind of an altered state. So for a musician or for an artist, I'm a dancer. When we dance, when we're doing music, when we go into that state where what we're doing is so focused that the state itself actually takes over and we get involved, and then the conscious mind gets to take a break, so to speak. But in hypnotherapy, we don't want the conscious mind to be completely gone because it helps us make the bridge. So it's more like what I say is like, you know, we want the conscious mind in the bleachers, watching, there to help when we need it, but not running the show. And I do tell people frequently when it's their first time doing hypnosis that the conscious mind is going to say, you're making this up. And
right.
My, you know, my hit on that is the conscious mind likes to be in charge.
Yep.
Likes to be in control, and it likes to think that it's doing everything. So
right.
If anything happens, it just jumps in to take credit. It's really no big deal. So we just notice it, and we go, okay, thanks, whatever, and keep going. I also tell my clients when we're first doing hypnosis is if you feel like you're making it up or even if you're not getting anything, go ahead and make it up. Give yourself permission to do that because that first step in will get you going, and then the process will start to take care of itself on its own. So when you're telling a story to a kid, you know, it's like you don't know where to start, but then all of a sudden you're telling the story and you're telling the story and there's one thing and there's another thing and, you know, and it embellishes itself. So the same thing will happen. It'll, you know, kind of take on its own. And the other thing I say is that it doesn't really matter whether, you know, especially with past lives, it doesn't matter whether it really happened or not. And we shouldn't worry about that because whatever is coming through, we can trust is going to be useful.
Right. Good point.
So as long as you work with it from that perspective, who cares if it's true or not? Is it useful? Is a much better question.
I like that. That's very good. That's actually really good, you know, because I get these questions all the time too, and the same sort of thing, and that's a great answer to that. If, you know, what if you are? So what if your mind is making it up? What if it is coming from some kind of fantasy thing or whatever? Is it helpful? And I think when you're at that level of a more unconscious kind of level, the information you're receiving is coming from somewhere else. And that's always been my, you know, I think of everything beta, alpha, theta, delta. You know what I mean? It's kind of the brainwave thing. And I always say when I'm bringing, my goal is to get some, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I always try and get somebody, I always say between alpha and theta. I like way in between there somewhere, you know, for the person to be, to have a really good, especially for past life regression, to be at a state where you're certainly super, super relaxed, but your consciousness is has slipped just a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
it's interesting. I would say like past life between alpha and theta, but then LBL is more between theta and delta.
Right, exactly. And delta is actually the one that, you know, that's interesting because if you're in delta, you're basically dead asleep. I mean, at that point, that's one of the problems that I have is trying to keep people out of delta, you know, where you know, it's like it's easy to get them really relaxed when you practice meditation and when you do group meditations and things like that, it's, you know, the meditation part is easy, but I put people to sleep sometimes, and not just out of boredom. So everybody that's listening that knows me and thinks, "Wow, great time to see Lisa." Yeah, I know, work, but no, it's that you get so relaxed that it's really easy to drift off to that next level, you know. And I think most people don't because they're not completely sure what's happening, and that little bit of uncomfortable, like what's about to happen next, kind of thing. Their anxiety maybe, keeps them from going all the way there. But between Theta and Delta, that would scare me.
Theta. Once we start working, they're really pretty, in Theta. It's a 4-hour session, which allows that ability to, hang out there in that deeper place,
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great place to be. I always describe it as that place, right when you're about to drift off to sleep. And if somebody wakes you up, you're like, "Are you kidding me? I was in a great place."
Right. Then it's a really
feel-good place. It feels really good to be there. And you can understand, and I always think, and I don't know if you feel like this too, but for me, I always think when we sleep, we go to the other side. That's when we cross to the other side. I've experienced it many times, visiting with people that have passed and things like that, waking up and feeling this incredible closeness to someone that that has passed before, and being like, "Wow, this is weird. I feel really, close." And then knowing I may not bring back the memories of visiting them, but I certainly bring back the feeling.
I bring back that familiarity. I've had that experience, and I say it more like I've had a visit from, as if they came here, but who knows who went where, but there are mornings that I wake up sometimes like, and for me, more often than not, it's my dogs, but sometimes it's my parents, I'll wake up and I had a visit from Harold or Kina, as opposed to I had a dream about them where I just really felt
me. The thing is, you don't remember it, for the most part. Like if I have a dream about somebody that's passed on, I'll say, okay, that was a dream because it was a dream. It was a dream. And you sit there I can sit there and go through all the different things, the dream that I had, why am I going back to my childhood home and why am I always searching for my mom, and I sit there and I do it from a dream analysis standpoint where I'm trying to figure out what exactly is this dream trying to say to me, but my mom will have been there. And then there are other times I wake up and I don't remember dreaming about my mom at all. I just feel like, wow, I was just with my mom, you know? And I think that when we're in the unconscious state, we slip over and we go beyond the veil. We cross that veil and I think they can come visit us anytime. I think we can only visit there in our sleep. And I don't think we're allowed to bring back those memories. I don't think those memories are, I mean, can you imagine if we could all bring back those memories? That would be incredible. That would be incredible. That's going to be one of my big questions I ask when I get over there. I won't have to ask. I know I'll just know.
Yeah.
But, it's like, why don't we get to know more? And it all comes down to, I sit here and I answer my own questions, but it all comes down to faith. Because if we all knew, we wouldn't have faith. I mean, faith is about not knowing for sure, So how would we really experience faith if we actually did remember all these things?
The other thing that I've been saying lately is that the human journey is about breaking the identification with everything that we're not. So recognizing that we're not our thoughts, recognizing that we're not our feelings, recognizing that we're not our body, recognizing that we're not our experiences, recognizing that we're not our habits. And if we already knew that, it's like the jig would be up. There'd be no game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly true. I mean, that's how I think about it, too. It's just, if we remembered it, what would the point be? If we already know it all, what are we doing? What are we bothering for? What is this all about? So that's a
few tidbits it'd be nice to be able to bring with us, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit, every once in a while, just like a little bit, it would be nice.
I know we learned this before. Do I have to do it again?
No. I'm just so tired.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired. Come on, don't make me go through this again. But it's, you know, I mean, it's just part of, it's part of living, and it's part of the whole process. But I know I was asking you, and I'm sure I interrupted you because that's how I roll. But anyway, I think that, you know, we were talking about the, what basically is happening? What are the people, when they're in trance, when they're in a hypnotic state, what are they experiencing? Like what's going on? Take me through like a typical session that you have. Maybe we should take a break and then come back and you take me through a typical session. I mean, I'm curious as to who's saying what. I mean, I'm sure you're having to do the induction to get them, you know, into the hypnotic state, all of that. But what happens at that point? So let's take a break, and then we'll come back and ask Melanie that question. Anybody, if you have any questions for Melanie, you can call in at 347-945-7246. Press 1, and you will be in the queue. And if you have any questions about hypnosis or the afterlife or whatever, just give us a call. Hang in there with me, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the Right Stream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES for details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
All right, everyone, welcome back. This is Just Believe Radio. Today we're talking with Melanie Smithson from the Smithson Clinic Incorporated. She is a Life Between Lives hypnotherapist. And before the break, I was asking about what a typical session is like, meaning who's talking, who's saying how does it work? So can you take us through that, Melanie?
Yeah, so as you were saying, I start with the typical induction. And it's a little bit longer than what you would do for any other hypnosis session, just to make sure that we go deep enough. In the induction, you know, there's the relaxation of the body, going off to some, you know, place where we do some visualizing, and then going back down through this lifetime and looking for childhood memories as part of the warm-up. And then we actually start, after we go down through all the childhood memories, we go into the womb, which is where where it starts to get interesting, because frequently people can report what is happening in the womb, what they're experiencing, that they might be feeling, they might be hearing their mother's heartbeat, they might be feeling her feelings. They might even have a sense of what the integration was like between the soul and the body. So some people get that, some people don't. And then we go into the most immediate past lifetime, spend a little bit of time there. It's really more so that we cross over. And then once we cross over, the journey is very unique. So I will describe kind of a typical journey and tell you at the same time there's no such thing as a typical journey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that makes complete sense, because everybody obviously is going to experience it in a completely different way. So that makes sense.
But frequently people will be greeted by a guide, not always. That guide might take them someplace where they discuss the life that they've just completed, what, you know, lessons they were working on, how they did, what there is to, you know, keep working with, what there is to let go of. Sometimes there's some energy cleaning if there's stuff that's, you know, kind of stuck. In fact, my client yesterday did a whole draining process. It was really interesting because she had come out of the past life and she said, you know, that life wasn't bad. It was neutral, as opposed to some others she'd seen that were pretty difficult. But still, as she came over to the other side, she saw like this gray spot in her energy. And so there was, you know, the working of cleaning out this gray energy. And she saw it kind of like going down a drain. And this is where it was really interesting, because she got curious. It's like, huh, you know, I wonder where it goes. And she was kind of at a choice point, like, well, do I want to follow that energy or not? And she did decide to follow the energy. And so she, you know, basically went down the drain with it. And she just saw it kind of coming into a body of water where it was totally cleansed. It was like completely recycled. There was nothing, you know. So that was fun and different.
Right.
So it may take off in all kinds of different directions as we start to look at what's left over, what has to get cleaned up. And then from there, if that is the way this is proceeding, they may go visit with their soul group. So all of us have beings that we typically incarnate with. And that group, sometimes I've heard it's as small as 3 or 4, and sometimes it's as big as 15. We have different sized soul groups, and there are beings in that group when we meet up with them, some that we might know in this lifetime, and some that are not incarnated or we're not interacting with them. So we may see our spouse. Our spouse, typically, many of us have incarnated with many times, and it doesn't necessarily make them a soulmate, as I talked about earlier, but it makes them somebody that we journey with a lot. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that I journey with my husband a lot. I've seen, you know, other lifetimes where we've done healing work together, and so that, you know, may show up, and then other people show up, and some of them, again, as I said, you know, it's like, oh, I know what role you're playing, and oh, we're doing this for each other this time. We chose not to incarnate together for this reason this time. So we explore that and the impact we have on each other. And then after that, we will typically go to meet with our council. And the council is made up, again, of a number of beings. Anywhere, my first council meeting, there were only 3. I've had other councils where there's as many as 9 or 10. And the council members, again, appear differently to us. Sometimes one of them is going to speak. Sometimes they all speak. They show us things. They tell us things. So at this point, my client is actually the one that's mostly reporting back to me what's happening. But they've given me a list of questions beforehand. So if those questions are already getting answered spontaneously, great, that's what's happening. I'm completely following them. If those questions aren't getting answered, I'll jump in and ask the question. And then sometimes so then again, many of the people that have come to me have read the book. So sometimes people will say, oh, I really want to visit the place of life selection, or I'm really intrigued by the library. And based on what they come in with, I will try and get to those places with them. It's impossible, you know, when Dr. Newton wrote the books, it was as if everybody visited every one of those places, and that's not true. There's just not enough time to do all of that.
Right.
So everybody does it a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's what everybody asks me when we do these sessions, past life regressions. Well, how, you know, I want to, how about if I want to see you know, I want to go back to more than one life. And I'm like, well, you know, we only have so much time. And, you know, it does take, it is a lot. It's a lot of time to get them there. How many places can do you feel like a person goes in a typical session with you?
Again, it depends. Some people go straight to the council and spend all the time there. And and some people jump around. So, you know, on average, I would say two or three, the soul group and the council being primary, and then maybe one other.
How are you able to help people with chronic pain through this method?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a couple of ways. Sometimes even in the LBL, they'll show us a past life where the chronic pain started, and moving through it, you know, through the past life. But sometimes we'll just ask them to work with the energy. And amazing things happen. I mean, you know, one woman came in not that long ago with stuff going on in her hands. And one of the common themes that I see, or the things that they're telling us a lot, is that we take life too seriously, that we should laugh more, and that we should let go.
In this, so agree with that.
Yeah, right, you know. It's like, duh.
Yeah,
no, but
right.
But working with them, it's like, okay, we know that, but how do we do it? Because, again, for each person, it's a little bit unique. You know, they'll relate to something else. So this woman who came in with all this hand stuff, what they were working with her, it's like, they showed her, it's even hard for me to explain because I see it in my hands, but they were working with the hands and letting go through the hands. It's like they were moving all the energy around and letting go through the hands. So, and it's funny because I had somebody else come in the other day with hands too, and another psychic person are working on his psychic stuff, and he had experienced a past life where he was able to, through touch, heal people. And when we went into the experience, he was like, my hands are so heavy. They feel, you know, like lead or like four times heavier than they normally do. So what happens in this deep state of trance is that people start to feel what they are experiencing. If they're experiencing chronic pain, I guide them to go into it. And when we do that, then it can start to move. And particularly when we do it in the LBL experience, our counsel, the rest of our energy, whatever it is that's working, can help us move through it. And sometimes there are lessons with it. So I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but, you know, let's just say, for instance, you know, foot pain is like, okay, you're not moving forward. We want you to move forward, and this is where this is showing up in your body. So sometimes they'll explain to us what the lesson is that isn't moving where they want to see it going and how the pain is showing that to us. So sometimes just the information will help. But sometimes they'll literally work with us energetically, and people will start shaking and things will move in the session.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll say. That sounds
yeah.
really cool. Yeah, it sounds like such a great thing for people to do and to experience. I mean, for it to be able to help so many different issues. Like, you know, we were talking about, I mean, the chronic pain, that one was fascinated me. I get the relationship thing because obviously people, you know, there's a lot of times there's a reason that people keep making the same choices over and over again that are not necessarily the best choices for them, and grief and trauma and, you know, all of that. But explain, like, how childhood abuse, how does that help a childhood abuse issue for someone that experienced that in this lifetime? You know, so it's a current lifetime thing. How do they benefit from a session like this if they've experienced abuse as a child?
Yeah. You know, and this is such a touchy one, Lisa, because I think that where we get in trouble a lot with childhood abuse is in the New Age thinking, saying that you chose this, this was part of your path. I think that's disrespectful, so I want to be very careful about that. I don't think that anybody comes into this lifetime and decides I'm going to be abused. And I don't think we see that clearly. That said, I will tell you about one client I worked with a long time ago who had a horrific history of abuse. And she could go in and out of trance pretty easily, so not even in an LBL session, she could, you know, kind of drop into stuff. And what she said to me really made me laugh. She said to me, "I was so arrogant." And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I thought this was going to be a cakewalk. I thought I could handle this, knowing that none of it meant anything, and I would learn from it, teach from it."
Right.
So one of the things that does happen is when we're over there choosing our life path, sometimes we don't recognize how hard something is going to be for us. And so we think, oh, this is a good idea. And then we're here in the middle of it and go, what the hell was I thinking, you know?
Right.
So, you know? So,
yeah.
So that part of it. And, you know, but when we go over with the LBL, and I do work with people with childhood trauma a lot, what I think is most critical about this is as we move into the LBL, we can see that our soul is still whole. Because a lot of times in this lifetime when we experience abuse, there is a fragmentation. And there is a belief that what happened says something about us. And as we start to see through that, it becomes easier to let go of it.
So, right. That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. And, you know, so many times somebody that suffers, and you're right, this is a very touchy subject. But when you know, when a lot of times it's not about the person who was abused, it can be about the abuser, and that can be very difficult, I think, for people to understand, because the lesson or the pain that the person was experiencing was about, you know, not so much about the person being abused, but was about, you know, the lesson or the, and I don't even like saying lesson when I think about this, because, you know, again, it's something that so many of, we don't really know. We don't have all the answers to, but it does feel like something very much, you know, related to the process of learning, our soul's learning at that soul level. So, you know, it's just a very, obviously very touchy thing to talk about, because it should be all about the person who was abused. And a lot of times I think the lesson
I was just going to say that I think that the question that we need to ask, not like why did this happen to me, but what can I take from this, or what did I become because of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I agree, and you know, the reason for that is because you have to look at it from the perspective of, you know, you did learn something. Sometimes it's a family cycle of abuse, and you learn something. It ends with me, no more. You know, or it can be a situation where, you know, it's not, maybe not, there's not a cycle, but it's just that it makes you take a direction of spending your life helping abused children, or, you know, I mean, there are so many different avenues that you can go down with something like this. where you don't know, you know, you just aren't sure where the lesson is or where the whatever. I don't, like I said, I don't want to just say lesson because I think there's a lot more to it. Sometimes it creates your path. You know, what happens to us when we're younger. I think a lot of times it creates our path. And a lot of times, like you were saying about, you know, the abuse part, or the, not the abuse part, but the aspect of, you know, looking at it from a different place, you have to also look at it from the lesson of having to learn how to forgive and not allow it to ruin your life, to not allow it to continue to damage you, you know, in a more permanent way, if that makes sense. You know, I'm all about teaching about forgiveness, and I think that so much of the time we find ourselves holding on to this anger from a situation that, you know what, you were innocent, you didn't deserve, you didn't do anything, you know, to have this happen, but the lesson for some of us is to learn to, you know, forgive and let go, and move on. And
yep.
You know,
I would say that's
successful.
Probably the lesson for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's hard. You know, I mean, that's a hard thing to do. That's one of the things I teach about the most, and it's one of the things that I struggle with the most in my personal life. You know,
yep.
Forgiving. You know, it's okay. You can sit there and you can, you know, lick your wounds for a while. You don't have to forgive immediately, but you do need to do that. And it's not for the other person, it's for you.
Into account that when we're the ones that aren't forgiving, when we're still angry, that we are the ones that's suffering. That's it.
Right.
It's like we hold the anger in our bodies. And
yep.
It's your choice.
Yep.
Do you want to keep holding that? Do you want to feel that?
Right.
Is that what you, is that the experience you want to have? It has nothing to do with anybody else.
Right. And do you want it to make you sick? Because you're not damaging anyone else. You're creating illness by holding on to that anger. You're creating illness within your body, within your mind, within your soul, within your spirit, whatever. You're creating all this illness by holding on to it, and you do have control. You may not have had control when you were a little kid, but you have the control now to not allow it to affect you for another day, you know, by letting it go. And it's absolutely not as simplistic as letting it go. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into forgiveness and letting things go, but it does come down to that one simple idea that you have to forgive. And, you know, we're completely kind of getting out of the subject. But what I wanted to say too is that I want to give you a chance to talk about you know, the prerequisites, I guess, of having a past life regression or having an LBL session, if they're, you know, and how do you find somebody to do this? I mean, obviously they go to you if they live where you live, but if, you know, how do you find somebody to do this? I mean, the LBL, to become a certified in LBL, I believe there's only really one way to do that.
Yes.
Is there not, through the Newton group?
Yeah, there are a couple of the folks doing it out there, you know, but I'm not really familiar with them, so I'm just going to speak to the Newton Institute. That's who I'm trained by.
Right.
So I think the first most important thing is that if you're going to do an LBL, that you make sure that you're comfortable with the practitioner. I have people that travel from other states to do this work with me, and that, you know, I mean, part of it is because there aren't too many LBL practitioners. You know, I'm in Denver, that are in the surrounding states, so I get people from the Dakotas and from New Mexico. But I also do want to say that I have done some LBLs via Skype and phone, and they've worked fine.
Really?
It's,
wow,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it happens. But I would just go to the newtoninstitute.org and look for a practitioner in your area, and then spend some time chatting with them. I offer free half-hour consults to all my clients before I even suggest a past life, just to see if we feel like we're a good fit. And those can be done in person or by phone. And, you know, when you think about the fact that you're going to be bearing your soul literally, you
right.
want to be comfortable with the practitioner.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if somebody
I think that is like that's so important for whether you know, no matter what you're doing, whether it's hypnotherapy or whether it's past life regressions, well, which are under hypnotherapy, but even
right.
with counseling, you
Any
have
work.
To you
Any
have
work.
To you have to you have yes, you have to be comfortable with the person, and that can be a simple personality thing. And you know, it's that's really important because you're right. You're talking about the you know nitty gritty of your life. So
yeah, and the practitioners that are on the Newton website are all certified through the Newton organization. So that's a great first start because we were all trained in his modality. And then you know, just check in on your own comfort level with the person. And then in terms of the prerequisites. You know, I'll do that half-hour consult to see, you know, if I hear that there's some sort of mental health issue, it's like, you know, let's just do a couple of individual sessions first so that I get a feel for what's going on here. But typically, you know, people are like, you know, I've done this already, and a lot of people that come to me have already done a lot of work. And sometimes they already know they could go into trance easily, in which case, you know, we just go ahead and go right for the LBL. If somebody is not sure that they can go into a state of trance or it's been a long time since they've been hypnotized, then we'll do the past life first. But
okay.
other than that, there's really not a lot. You know, I just want to know what somebody is coming in for, get a sense that, you know, they're stable, obviously. And that's it.
Have you ever had a situation where you had to pull the person out? Have you ever had a situation where they've gone to a past life? Or you know, even in the spirit world, and had something traumatic that they recall that you had to bring them out. Or what do you do if that happens? It's never happened to me. But
yeah, I'll back them up. So
okay.
if they're you know, I'll just put it on the screen or something. So you know, remind them that they're safe, that this is a memory, and
right.
we'll put it up on a
right.
movie. We can, and you know, once in a while, there'll be something like, okay, let's step away from this for now, and we'll come back to it. I think a lot of what helps with that, Lisa, is that I don't get scared.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, when my client gets scared and I stay steady and I stay calm with it, then it brings them, you know, to a place that, okay, I'm all right, you know. So that's, I don't know that I've ever had anything where we've been like, yeah, we got to end the session right now. I don't remember ever doing that.
Yeah, that's never happened to me either, but I've heard of people who have, you know, hypnotherapists and things that have said that has happened where they had to, like, bring the person out of it right away because of just some kind of traumatic memory or, you know, who knows. Do you feel like you need to get to know the person, get to know not only their mental health, you know, situation, but just any huge traumas that they've had in their this life past, like and obviously they're not going to remember before the session and a past life unless they've had a past life regression to know anything that might have might be triggers.
Sometimes I get that information and sometimes I don't, and it seems to be okay either way.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. You
All
know,
right.
I was in a session the other day where. The client was thinking of it as an entity. There's somebody here that doesn't want me to do this, you know? And I just was like, well, can I talk to him? And I think that I'm, you know, kind of relaxed about it takes some of the crazy away, you know? It's like, and,
yeah.
you know, this shows up and goes, what do you want? I was like, well, I just want to know
yeah.
your name, you know? So.
So if you stay calm, the client stays calm, and you know, and that's pretty much, and that's why you need somebody who is experienced when you're
right.
getting any kind of hypnotherapy done. I don't care if you're trying to stop smoking or you know, or stop biting your nails, or if you're doing past life regression or an LBL session. You do need to have somebody who has had experience and doesn't get freaked out by the things that can happen, because when you bring somebody into a trance, you never know what's coming. I mean,
right.
it's always interesting
yeah.
to say the least. You never know what's coming next. You don't really know. So you have to be prepared for everything. And I think that's an important part. If you have somebody who's going to panic when you panic, well, that's probably not a good a match. You know, I don't know that you have people that are really trained as hypnotherapists and LBL practitioners and past life regressionists and things like that that don't know how to handle that correctly. If you become certified in any of these things, you have to pretty much know what you're doing. So anyway, let's just take another very quick break. Well, about a 3-minute break, and I'm gonna throw a commercial on, and then if you can just hang in there with me and give everybody information on where you are, what you do, anything that you've got going on, anything you've written that you want people to know about, we'll just wrap it up with that. So if everyone can just hold on just for a minute, we will be back in about 4 minutes.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the Rightstream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. Rightstream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also speak social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And, of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday Rightstream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag Rightstream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the Rightstream Radio Network and the Rightstream Twitter chat.
All right, everyone, we're back. This is Just Believe Radio. I'm Lisa Tarvis, and we're just about to wrap our show up today. We have had the honor of having Melanie Smithson on today, who is working for, well, I guess working for because she owns the Smithson Clinic in Denver. You're in Denver,
right? Separation.
Colorado. So I want to just give you a couple minutes to, this has been really fascinating, and the entire idea of hypnotherapy has always been, I just love it. Past life regressions, oh my gosh, so much fun. I've done like 3 or 4 of them now, and I've been under 3 or 4 times now where I've actually had the experience of remembering past lives, it's been fascinating every time, and I absolutely love it. An LBL session is actually taking back to more of in the spiritual world. So that I have not done yet, but now that I've met Melanie, I actually may be doing that one next. Nice. But Melanie, give us a little bit of information how people get a hold of you, where they can find you, and what you can do for them.
Great. So I have 3 websites. The one that is most relevant to the conversations we're having today is lifebetween.com. And then my speaker website is melaniesmithson.com. And the clinic website is smithsonclinic.com. Not a computer person. I still have a phone. And the confidential voicemail is 303-271-7659. You can also follow me on Twitter at Melanie's Musings or on Facebook, Melanie Beth Smithson or Melanie Smithson International. Any likes are appreciated. And I do have an ebook, Reclaiming an Adult Relationship to Play, and then coming out later this year will be a book titled Renewing the Joy of Service, which will really be addressing some of the things that we've been talking about today for caretakers and people that help work with other people to let go and move on. So
that's great.
I think
that
covers it.
Yeah, that's great information, and I encourage everyone to definitely check out what Melanie does. It's a fascinating therapy. It's a fascinating modality that I think that we can learn so much from. And like I said, having a psychic reading is awesome. Having someone tell you about your past lives is really fun and exciting and helpful, very beneficial. Experiencing it from a hypnosis standpoint is amazing. It's a completely different experience, and anyone who has the opportunity to have any past life regressions or LBL sessions done, you won't regret it. They're very helpful, and I think something that is truly beneficial for, you know, not only this lifetime but for your souls in general. So I want to thank you very much, Melanie, for being my guest today. I really had a great time talking to you and have learned a lot. I knew a lot about hypnotherapy, but the LBL is a completely different thing in a way. You know, it's a little different. So I enjoyed learning about it and appreciate your being on.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for being on the show, and I will hopefully have you back soon if you're willing, and we'll talk some more, maybe share some more stories about some of your clients and even some of the stories in Michael Newton's book, but the one I read, which was Journey of Souls, I thought was amazing and had some really interesting stories in it. And yeah. I'm sure your the stuff you're creating now is also going to have a lot of great things to share with the public. So, again, thanks a lot for being on the show.
You're very welcome, and thanks for having me.
All right. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, everyone, that's the end of our show, Just Believe Radio, for the week. And let me just say that anyone who is an expert in any of the fields of holistic medicine, metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal subjects, absolutely send me an email. And if you're a good fit for the show, I will have you on. You can email me at Lisa@lisatarvis.com, That's lisa@lisatarves.com. Yes, learning how to spell my name. Anyway, and also, you know, so if you're interested in being on, if you have any thoughts on the show, anything you want to share, the show is still very, very new. We're just on, I think today was our, let's see, was it our 8th show? No, it was our 7th show. See, so still very, very new. Oh, it may have been the 8th because the first one I didn't have a guest. I was kind of the guest. So this is probably the 8th show. Next week we're going to have Carla Wills Brandon on the show. And I think this is going to be another really, really fun show that I'm excited about. She is going to be focusing on, she's written, gosh, I think it's like 13 books, 12 or 13 books. And we're going to be focusing on visions of the dying. We're going to talk about the things that the dying have experienced and had to share with her. And she's going to, I think, give us some really great information. A lot of it's just comforting information about for us who are experiencing grief from someone that we loved who's passed on, or for anyone who, has experienced maybe a near-death situation or has a terminal illness, things like that. I think there's just some comfort in some of this information. So anyway, I will talk to everybody next week. Again, I appreciate everyone listening. And you can find out more about me at www.lisatarvis.com. And I will see everyone next Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern for another great show, Just Believe Radio, on the RaceStream Network. Thank you. Have a great week, everyone.